Jonah the prophet had a really tough job because most prophets in the Bible got killed for what they said. And I don't know whether he sensed that or we get that true message from God's Word, but being a prophet is somebody who is chosen by God to speak God's Word. It's certainly not the easiest thing in the world to do, but great contentment and reward in doing that. And you and I are called to have that prophet ministry as followers of Christ. So if you feel like you're getting whomped on, physically or spiritually, it's part of the calling, and it actually draws you closer to the Lord. You know, Jonah had a sense that if he would speak for God, he might get killed. And if he didn't speak for God, he was going to get killed. So that's our choice. You can get killed by following God, or you can get killed by not following God. Which do you choose? Okay, well, I think our souls would at least be at peace if we got killed for following God. And that's part of the message that God gives us through the book of Jonah. Jonah is one of the few prophets mentioned in the Old Testament. Not over 4,000 years of Old Testament history, not a lot of prophets named. 17 wrote some books. We have their names. We have some other ones. Deborah, Moses was called a prophet. Samuel, Elijah, Elisha. These are big-time people with flaws, but they followed the Lord very well. Just to compare it to something that you might, some of you might be interested in. For example, if the National Football League had 4,000 years of history and they only picked like 30 people to say, these are the ones who have special responsibility, 30, that's all. In 4,000 years of this job, there they are. You know, you'd think, these guys really, so very important task. God would say, Jonah, he's one of them. He's one of them. Later on, John the Baptist would be called a prophet. Later on, God the Son, taking on that role of a prophet. Hebrews says this, boy, in many ways, God spoke to us through prophets various times in diverse places, but in these last days, He really, really, really spoke to us in His Son, because the universe was made through His Word. Now that's what you call a prophet. Okay, something that Jonah or Isaiah or John the Baptist couldn't pull off. They couldn't say it, and the whole universe happened. Well, Jesus did that. So we know who all the prophets point to. So Jonah's a favorite prophet for children, sometimes for us because his sins are so obvious, we can kind of relate to him. Some of you remember the movie Jaws, where the bad fish was the antagonist. Well, this is God's true story of Big Jaws, fish, only he's a good fish. He's there to rescue Jonah, as it were. And if you looked at his story, boy, it really a lot of excitement, danger, there's rebellion, there's attempted murder against Jonah, sailors get converted, a whole town gets converted, 120,000 people. It is unbelievably full of action. And right early in it, Jonah runs from God. He says, I don't want to be in God's presence in friendship or in the task that He's calling me to do. And you really can't run from God. It's like running from oxygen, if you were just to think of the earth here. When you run from God, you run into God. And sometimes it's okay to meet Him that way while you're running from Him. God's not flustered by your running. He's meeting you where you're going. So Wednesday night we talked in the Bible study about Jonah. Asked the question, how do we run from God? Guys and gals in the Bible study came up with these. We run from God by closing our Bible and saying, God speaks, but He's not going to speak to me this week or today. You know, without being legalistic about it. I'm busy on my way to Tarshish. Tarshish was a place that had silver, gold, monkeys, and peacocks. I'd like to go there. God said, go east. Jonah said, I'm going west. Shut the Bible. Also, when I don't pray, I run from God. When I worship creation instead of the Creator, and I try to make Him the part of creation only, I run from God. When I skip church, I run from God. That's a practical one. because God tells me don't forsake gathering together. You know, you don't have to meet God in church, but you do meet God in church if you come. So skipping church is running from God. When I don't love people, I run from God, because the people are made in His image. God's moving towards them. He loves them. I was talking to one of my family members. I said, there's this atheist guy who his view of people was, hell is other people. That was his definition of hell. And sometimes I've heard believers almost echo those words in terms of, you know, I got to get away from, solitude is good, but being away from others, that's no good. And when I don't treat others as I want to be treated, I pretty much take Genesis through Malachi, throw it away. Summarizes the law and prophets. And for Jonah and for you and I, sometimes we run from God when we don't share the good news of God's salvation. That was Jonah's big fear that stuck in his throat. I don't want to do that, especially to the evil folk that are around me. So Jonah runs from God. He gets rescued from the sailors, from the big fish, from the Ninevites, and most of all from himself. Jonah says by his actions, which sometimes we do, I'd rather die than obey God. That's a tough view of sin, but it is a Bible view of sin. When we move away from God, our philosophy is, I would rather die than obey God. That was what Jonah faced. And sometimes we start out with one sin, then all of a sudden it feels like, I feel like my soul is dying because of not being connected with God. Sin does produce a spiritual death. One sin can produce 1,000 bad results. We should know that. For Jonah, his one sin, going east, actually going west, had a chip on his shoulder against God because of it, against the Ninevites because of it, hid from the sailors because of it. He gets depressed because of it. You can get depressed from other things, but for Jonah, that was it. He got suicidal because he ran from God, and he obeys God in a rather heartless manner because of that sin of saying no. So there's a multiple bad crop in our souls when sometimes we turn from God, away from God in one particular way. Two lessons from Jonah for today and the rest of the chapters, book next week. When we sin, as the experience of Jonah was, everybody else gets dragged down with us. When you and I sin as believers, everybody around us gets dragged down too. It's not just I offended God, and this sin is between me and God. The people around us get blown up when we sin. This was what happened to Jonah. The ship was wrecked. A boatload of people almost died. Jonah almost dies. Salvation is delayed for a whole town. The Ninevites, you know, they might have said, we could have served Jesus for a whole year if you'd have came when God wanted you to come. Even the fish is affected by Jonah's sin. The fish has to get sick. Okay, and when we sin, we make everybody around us sick in addition to our own soul. Society is sick, and God is grieved because of the Christian's sin. This is part of the sad truth of our lives. When we sin, society gets more corrupted. The salt is not salty. The light is under the bushel. The scary part for the sailors, you know, they yelled at Jonah, Jonah, wake up, pray for us. And sometimes the world, our sin holds them back from hearing the truth, and they're crying out for help. And so they get worse when we sin. One Bible teacher had a devastating truth. He said, the prophet of God sleeps while the pagans cry for help. Okay, the prophet of God sleeps while the pagans cry for help. So when we're not alert to God, hearing Him, following Him, the world around us suffers more. And sadly, that's a picture of our relationship with God. We sleep and disobey God. The world is on the eve of destruction over hell itself. The Lord could have sung to Jonah this song. And I think he did by how he handled Jonah. Jonah, rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep over the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of God, the mighty to save. So that was the call for Jonah. And our sin has multiple effects to it. I remember in seminary, I skipped one class, and the results were many. I affected the class that I skipped. That wasn't such a big deal. It wasn't a top of the hill at all. But I went with some buddies. We got out of bounds from where we went. So we were affected, and all our families were affected. I was serving a church at the time, and they were concerned about what happened. So now I had 100 people praying for me. Okay, this is from skipping one class. All of a sudden, there's 100 people that are thrown off from my one sin. I thought, boy, I'm never going to skip a class again. You would think from one sin you wouldn't have such a disaster. But this can happen in our own souls to say, Lord, let me live close to you. It's not just I'm hurting myself. I'd have to wipe out my own family over here, you know, by what I do, what I say. So there's Jonah. God has to rescue him from the results of his sin. And the second application, God rescues Jonah so he would rescue others. So God would rescue others through Jonah. And that's a real picture of your life and my life. God saves us not just so we can go to heaven, but so that the Lord can use us to draw people to himself. And when Jonah was rescued by God, he prays. The seaweed's around his head, and he feels like he's going to die, and he almost did. And he prays a wonderful part of the prayer. He says, salvation is from the Lord. And that was pretty much his testimony. Okay, because Jonah knew. He said, my salvation is 100% God and 0% Jonah. That's all he could take credit for in where he was. He could almost hear Jesus saying to Jonah, Jonah, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a healthy thing to hear for somebody who believes in the Lord. That was Jonah. Charles Spurgeon looked at this passage, and he said this, only God can bring your soul to life if you're like Jonah. Only God can do this for you. Spurgeon said, if I pray, it's because God opens the door. If I stand strong, it's because God holds me up. When I sin, it's all of me. When I am righteous, it's all of God. Jonah had a sense of that. And God saved Jonah so Jonah could co-labor with God. And Jonah's rebellion would even be used by God as a picture of Jesus rising from the dead. That he turns his fall into almost like an evangelistic testimony. Two times Jesus, when he was talking about his own resurrection, he said, I'm going to give you a very important sign. In fact, for some, it'll be the only sign you really need in your soul. And the sign is this, that the Son of Man, after 3 days, will come back from the dead, just like Jonah came back from 3 days in the belly of the big fish. So there was Jonah's disaster. And you may look at a part of your life and say, this part is a disaster. And Jesus would say, you know, I could take that mess and bring you up from those ashes, and bring you life again, get you on some obedient path, just like it did for Jonah. And it'll be a reminder to your own soul and people around you, Jesus rises from the dead, and he does beat death and hell and sin. And we're glad God can do that with the messes in our life, whether we're in the belly of the fish or the belly of our own rebellion. Even, you know, and God will control the parts even of our days so we can honor him and his word can spread. I like the part in the story where the sailors are saying, who's responsible? You know, God's angry, and who's the focus of this? And so they cast lots. And it's almost like rolling the dice. And let's say Jonah's number was 7. Okay? So you know what's going to happen. Number 7's coming up. There's no doubt about it. God loads the dice. And they're rolled, and it's Jonah. You have to deal with me. And God's so sovereign, even to the point of controlling the roll of the dice. And the things that happen in your life and my life, they may seem coincidental, incidental, but the very minute details of our life, God would have His finger on and say, I'm pointing to my relationship with you, and I want you to follow me, and I want you to go and do what I told you to do. And the part of the lesson is Jonah is that God brings honor and salvation to others out of our half-hearted obedience or even much rebellion. And if God can use Jonah, He can use you and I. One preacher put it this way, I think I've shared before. God often draws a straight line with a crooked stick because crooked sticks are all God has to work with. So would you see yourself like Jonah as a crooked stick in God's hand? The flawed prophet, the flawed Christian, the flawed saint with the perfect Savior. The perfect Savior. And could you give your sin and rebellion to God and say, I'll even ask that you meet me there, Jesus. So at least I can get back and see you at work, even when my heart's not in it. I think that's pretty good for the Lord, that He'd work even when our heart's not in it. I think, we who are not always on fire would take comfort and our faith would grow because of that. Well, let's pray.